My guest is John Jensen, who created this website, ancientcanalbuilders.com. And a lot of you folks seem to have questions on your mind because the phone lines are lit up. We'll get to as many of those as we can right after this break. Also, I want to get into speculating with John a bit about who might have built all these things, if in fact they are man-made structures. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more on Coast to Coast. John Jensen, I don't want to box you into any kind of position because I know you don't have enough information to make a conclusion, but have you thought about if these structures really are man-made, who these people may have been, where they went? I'm just wondering if there's anything comparable around the world that you can point to and say, aha, the Chinese built this or the Egyptians built that, and that's very similar to what this was. You're reluctant to say.
Yeah. Yeah, you're reluctant to make any kind of real opinions and put them out there because they're just lay opinions. I don't know enough about what else is out there to compare them to. I see structures that here that required serious both mechanical and civil engineering to get them done, to get the projects done. I don't think it's a personal opinion, but I don't think they were done with Aboriginal or Native style tools that we know of, antler horns, reed baskets, those kinds of things. The projects are just too big. That doesn't mean they weren't done that way. It just is my instinct that they weren't.
So the people that we know that there are tribes, Native American tribes and peoples, nations that lived here pre-Columbian times, but it doesn't look like anything we know of that they dug or built.
It doesn't look like anything that they've done or built. No, to answer your question, I don't see anything in that we know of that I can relate it to and say it's like this. It's like totally different manufacturing and or not manufacturing, but mechanical engineering to get it done than say the pyramids in Central America, but it's on that kind of massive scale.
Okay.
It's different. It's aquatic, but it's massive. It required I think from my own opinion it's more massive than any of those. But that's just, again, a lay opinion. As clear an answer as I can make is I really don't have a good idea of who they might be because I can't put them in time yet that says we know they're 3,000 years old, we know they're 3,500 years old, or they're 10,000 years old, or they're just pre-Columbian. And they could be any of those. My raw instincts are that my postulate of dates that they're between, some of them are 3,500 years old or 3,100 to 3,500 years old, based on the water table raise that is evident covering much of it. But that, again, that's an estimate. But until we nail it down exactly with carbon dating, it's real tough to assign who and how to it. Because if they are pre-Columbian and just, say, within the last 700-800 years, that's a totally different who and how than if they're 3,000 years old or 10,000 years old. You follow?
Either one is interesting, though, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to say, even speculate who it might be, because that opens you up for attack if you were to even suggest something.
Well, and I'm not qualified to do it. I mean, and I know that. I'm a industrial engineer type that I wrote training startup manuals for most of my career. I was very good at it, but that's my expertise. If you want to know how a paper machine runs, I can tell you in minute detail. But
maybe we'll save that for another program.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But hey, we're going to open up the phone lines.
Okay.
All right, John, we're going to open up the phone lines. I appreciate hang on here. Wildcard line, Francis in Los Angeles. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Mr. Jensen.
Good morning.
I'm from Florida, and I had belonged to the Florida Archaeological Society from way back when. And I noticed on your website, among other things, You have Oldsmar and Safety Harbor listed. Is there anything in particular about that area?
I'm sorry, I didn't get it really clear. Of
Safety Harbor,
please.
Safety Harbor.
Safety Harbor.
Right.
I apologize, but I'm not. I put the site up, but it's not one that I'm familiar with to discuss here without going back and looking at some specifics. I couldn't tell you other than it has some canal-looking appearances, I would assume. I'm not familiar with all of them. Once we took a look at a site and said, let's, you know, that meets our first test, I'm not familiar with all of them. I apologize.
Francis, basically, he's put them up there, but he hasn't memorized everything. Okay. What can you tell us about that area?
Well, it had been a very large Indian settlement since way back, and Count Odette Philippi had settled in there in the early 1800s. There is a brick roadway, it's now underwater, and the old well is underwater, which would be out in the Tampa Bay area. But the place just reeks in history. And I do know that all along the Gulf Coast, as I was flying from St. Petersburg up to Crystal River, there were looked like roadways going right out into the Gulf of Mexico. And I says, what in heaven's name are those doing there? And it's straight as an arrow, comes from dry land right out into the Gulf. Quite large. And down in Florida Bay, there's a canal down there that was there when the first Spaniards arrived. And when they were able to communicate with the Indian settlement down there, the Indians referred to it as the Ancient Ones built it. And it is a long canal with seawalls and everything else. There was another area that they had found in St. Petersburg of very ancient buildings. No one knows who put them there. And that was all torn down. That was on the Tampa Bay side, down in the area called the post office, the old post office area. Another place over on Anna Maria Island, south part of Anna Maria Island. Ancient buildings down there that's mostly out in the water, but there was remnants of one still on shore. Nobody knows who put those there. Very old.
Well, Francis, you were involved with the Archaeological Society, then you would be sort of interested in getting an answer to some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that background, because it's much more than we knew about that area. I really appreciate it.
John, what would you like to tell our listeners who might have information, bits and pieces, how they can best communicate? Just go to the website?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got an email response page that you can email us in and start there. We've got a blog site that you can ask questions on and send information on. And I've got my own personal Facebook page listed on every page of the website, so that you can contact me personally if you're interested and or have data and information that might help us, or if you'd like to help in any way. We're trying to put together a foundation that will go out and do the research to start getting this time map that we talk about, and sites like Francis just mentioned, and get all of that data and help in. And so if anyone has any, just go to the website and any of the pages, either link up on my Facebook or, you know, send us an email, and we'll go from there. We'd be happy to work with anyone that has any information that can help.
Okay. Francis, thanks for the interesting call. Wildcard Margie in Southern Utah. Hi, Margie.
Hi, I'm looking at a book in the catalog that really ties in with your work. I guess this would be off of Canada, Cape Breton Island. Do either of you know where that is?
I don't.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, this man that wrote this book has come to a similar conclusion, or he thinks that they're Chinese. Ancient Chinese, or pre-Columbian Chinese anyway. And the title of the book is The Island of Seven Cities, Where the Chinese Settled When They Discovered America.
Well,
huh.
So it seems like it ties in with your studies.
Yeah, that's worth writing down there, John.
Absolutely. There are many ideas of one of the things I like about that is that we know that the Chinese had rice growing capabilities on their coasts in ancient canals like this. So it isn't that far afield to think that that might have some validity, and that we'll certainly look into it.
Okay, Island of the Seven Cities. Thanks, Margie. Appreciate it. Farlin in Oklahoma. Good morning, Farlin.
Hey, thanks. Hi, John. It's Farlin.
Hey, Farlin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was looking in the area there in Oklahoma, and I was noticing some terraces. I might be getting into an area where maybe these are terraces that were put in place post-Dust Bowl era by the WPA or Corps of Engineers.
Let me interrupt you. Is this Farlin Huff?
Yes.
This is John Jensen. We know each other through email. Farlin, by the way, George, is the one that discovered the canals that we show on the Oklahoma portion of our website. And Farlin sent those in to me a couple of months ago. So this is the first time I've got to talk to him. So hi, Farlin.
Hey.
And so, Farlin, you think some of these things might have been built by the WPA?
Oh, no, sir. I'm thinking that I'm noticing some terraces. And I'm trying to figure out if these terraces are old and coincide with the irrigation canals. Maybe the terraces were put in place by the same people that built the canals. Or, I'm trying to make sure that I don't get into an area where the Corps of Engineers came in. But I was wondering if John had noticed anything like that with any of the other irrigation canals, something that might look like terraces that were used for growing rice or...
The ones I've seen, the ones in my looking at the area out there when I was looking at the long canals around Mod, that there's terrace canals around what appear to be, and I don't want to use the name man-made, but embankment type lakes that I would call man-made, but around them are the terrace systems, and they look very much like the Altiplano terraces in Bolivia. Same general style. They're not as high. The land there in Oklahoma isn't as high as the mountain ranges in Bolivia, but they have that look. They follow the land, the terrain, like they do in South America. And that's why when I looked at them, I thought those are part of the same culture that did the ones in South America, because they have the very same look. They're terracing the land to irrigate it. That's what it looks like to me. To answer your question, is there any information that the Corps of Engineers or any of the other Department of Agriculture or any of the agencies that might have terraced it? I don't know that. I wouldn't be able to address it. But my instinct is that probably you won't be able to find any substantiation or documentation for that, simply because it's not the type or style of irrigation that we do or have done at all in American farming, I wouldn't think. Although, again, I'm not an expert at that. So my instinct is no, they're probably not modern from that standpoint.
Well, as soon as I can get into those areas, I'm going to see if I can tell if the road cut through the terraces or if the terraces were built to the edge of the road. And I'll get back to you as quick as I can. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Let me ask you another question. When you're doing that, what I was able to see looked like the terraces jumped different section boundaries where farmers had the section boundaries, that the terraces continued on the ground over to the next farmer's land. That's what they appeared, and that's I'd like you to check that if you could.
Yes, that's exactly what I was noticing. So that's what I'll do. So I can get there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Farlin. Appreciate the call. That's what you need there, John, is boots on the ground. We're going to go to Patrick, who is calling us. Yeah. Patrick is calling us from a tugboat on the Hudson River. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Great.
Hey. So good to talk to y'all. I just come off a monster dredge job for British Petroleum down in Venice, down in the South Mississippi River, down around Venice. And and I was paying particular attention to the canal system you were talking about. And I will favor there that it was majority of it was designed for the mineral exploration and the farming. I mean, I grew up down there in Gulfport, Mississippi, and then I've done plenty of my tours down in the I've been working in the Gulf my whole life. And but this sandbar they're building around the state of Louisiana will go undocumented. In another 20 years, you won't even know who built the darn thing unless you went back through the financial records of British Petroleum. I mean, in this sandbar, I mean, they're literally filling up 6,000-yard scows in 1 hour. I mean, that's a lot of material. But I was understanding what you were saying. But dredging's been going on for hundreds of years. And with all the hurricanes and tropical storms and changes in government, most of these dredging projects in the mineral industry, well, almost all of them never go documented. So it'd be very easy to see how you can't, it's hard to find out who dug these canals.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
John.
But they are significantly large.
Yeah. I understand that, and I would, you know, I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. It's an explanation. I think that if you looked at the website and saw some of the, I'd recommend one thing to go look at, and that's Terrebonne Island in over kind of on the west side of the Gulf.
I did, and I mean it's a great website you got posted there. I just wanted, you know, make clear. I mean, I've worked Louisiana from the Mississippi border all the way to West Louisiana, and the amount of canals from like Freshwater City, Cameron, I mean, in anywhere, it is astonishing the amount of canals that have been dug either by private owners or by farmers or by mineral exploration, and they just abandoned. They dig them. They don't even dig them right. I mean, anybody can make a straight line if you've got the right tools. You know, that's been going on since the Egyptian days. Y'all know that. I mean, I listen coast to coast every night. I just want I believe y'all, you know, that there are, you know, some unexplained explanations. But when it comes to Louisiana, that is a very undocumented state.
So you've never seen, Patrick, you've never seen anything you would say looks really old or that couldn't be explained by modern dredging techniques?
Once a hurricane hits something, George, and the effects of erosion takes over, you know, the sides fall in, things get shallower than they were, things change up, but they still retain the original, you know, most of the original shape from what I've, you know, just through my experience. Now, I am not a trained scientist. I just, you know, when it comes to Louisiana, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff down there, flown over it in helicopters, you know, coming back and forth from the oil rigs. It is amazing what you'll see.
Excellent call, Patrick. Appreciate the information. In fact, you're not alone on that. There's three of us non-scientists talking about this stuff, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to speculate. We'll be back with more of your questions for John Jensen, creator of AncientCanalBuilders.com, right after these messages on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with John Jensen, who created AncientCanalBuilders.com, this website with a pretty fascinating series of photographs taken from satellites that seem to show some interesting patterns. We'll get to as many of your calls as we can right after this on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll open the phone lines up in just a second. I want to ask you something, though, before we run out of time. And, you know, we posted a link to your website a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I guess it's been 2 months or so ago. And you got a lot of reaction from basically what you told me in an email. Some of it just kind of off the wall, right? People who want to figure out a way to exploit what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you're in the business of talking to lots of these different kind of agendas of folks have, not agendas, but theories, I would guess. And there's been representatives from each of those different theory camps, or whatever you want to call it, Atlantis, Lemuria, sinking, the changing world, various different folks, more from the Atlantis group than any other, that want to me to present the material in their framework. It's not said that way, but generally that's the feel I got. And I've kind of resisted that on the basis that it isn't fair for me to step into any of the arenas. There are folks from the religious community that have asked me to help them prove the flood, for an example. And it's just outside my venue of expertise. I've ended up not doing any of those. But yeah, to answer your question, I've been approached.
Well, good. You don't want to lock yourself into anything. That just opens you up to more trouble.
Well, it's that I don't have the expertise to even make the general statements. I really don't. And I'm just trying to expose this to the world and say, look what I found. What do you think it is?
Right. Know? Exactly.
As much as anything.
Okay. East of the Rockies, Sam in New York. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. Just had you covered some of it before about the about, you know, whether it was dating back to China and stuff like that. I was just wondering, could it be a part of like when there was a supercontinent, that there was say like the Chinese that might have built these, and then when the continent split, you know, it could have been something along those lines, depending on the carbon dating, if you know, if there was any information you can get like that.
Well,
could it date back to Pangaea?
Here's my basic take on what we're looking at, the canals that we've posted, is that they're not probably not of that kind of age, simply because earth changes are going to erase canals like that. The gentleman that was on earlier about Louisiana says they change in weeks or months down there. I would think that these may not survive two or three levels of events that may be earth changing and so on. I wouldn't think they'd last that long, because they're shallow canals. They're not shallow in the sense of the earth's crust. I mean, they're, you know, 20, 30 foot deep is still shallow. It's just my instinct that they wouldn't be much beyond the Holocene start. 10,000, 11,000 years ago. That's just my instinct. I have no technical or professional basis to make that statement, other than just my own personal opinion.
Okay. But, thanks, Sam.
But
go ahead.
I'm sorry, but could the Chinese have come over here several thousand years ago in expeditions and built up? Sure, they could. I don't know that they did or didn't, but could they? Sure.
Thank you, Sam. West of the Rockies, John in Seattle. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
I kind of feel that this may substantiate the OWASPE Bible that gives a history from 30,000 years before the flood up into the future. And during the age of, 1500 to 4000 BC, it talks about the canals that were made in what would be the Western or United States, and that they were basically for the transportation of goods. This OWASPE is written from Spirit's point of view, and it says that they taught man how to make it sounds like concrete, mixing of clay and sand and whatnot. Anyway, I just thought you might like to know that there is something of this nature in black and white.
I don't know what this...
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Okay, I'm not quite sure. It sounded like both of you were talking at the same time.
Well, let me talk for a second here. What is this thing called, this Bible you're talking about?
OWASPE. That's OAHSPE.
Oh, okay.
It was written by a man through automatic handwriting in 1880s.
Hey, well, that's worth checking out.
Yeah, exactly.
John, thank you for bringing that to our attention. You're going to have to take a look at that, Mr. Jensen. First-time caller, Steve in Chicago. Hi, Steve. We're going to Gary in Reno on the first-time caller line.
Hey.
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, man? Long-time caller. Long-time listener, sorry. I'm a little tired out here. My opinion is, what's your take on, over the years, imagine that those canals and stuff, imagine if they were our old civilizations besides the natives, because we've all been here for quite a while. This earth is very old, and those canals might, and all the roads you're talking about, but imagine that. What's your take on if it was an ancient civilization that we forgot about?
Well, I appreciate the question, but again, I'm going to fall back to the same answer. It's really outside my venue of this work, and this work I tend to believe is newer than, say, 10 to 12,000 years at the very earliest, and probably closer to 3,500 years ago, and it's within that range or newer. I would suspect, because of the raising the water table over it that dates it to those kinds of dates. So it doesn't appear to me to be able to give any evidence that I can say it's older than the Ice Age, for an example, or previous civilizations, or any of that. It doesn't appear to be in that venue at all, and so I tend to not speculate about those things relating to this. In another conversation, another time we might have about what I think about ancient civilizations, that's different than this subject. And I'm trying to not be rude, and please don't take it that way. I'm just saying, from what I gather, this is within those time frames.
Okay, thanks for the call, Gary. Jim in Shiloh, Illinois, on the wild card line. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, thanks a lot, George. John, pleasure. I understand that you don't want to go in those directions, so let me just give you things that are of question that I am not trying to point out are from a guaranteed another civilization. Just your opinion. There's in Peru these things called the roaming holes, and it's kind of a band of holes that are very symmetrical that go all over the land, and like your canals, they look artificially placed. Have you heard about those?
I don't, not in the way that you've described it, no.
Okay. How about just
if you're talking about the tunnels, the square tunnels, if that's what you're referring to, I've heard of those.
No, these are just holes. These are just holes. They're very symmetrical. It looks like somebody came along with and just poked holes in a very symmetrical line along the mountains in Peru, and there's absolutely no normal explanation for them because they look artificially placed, and the holes each are about like 10 feet deep and 7 feet wide or 8 feet wide, and they're all very symmetrical, but they've survived years, and they appear to be very old. Now, here's another one. Peru has a bunch of canals. They try to say were irrigation canals. Have you heard about those?
Yes, I have. I mentioned them earlier in the show. The on the Peruvian border at Tiwanaku, above Tiwanaku, it's actually Bolivia. That's the Bolivian-Peruvian border. There's a lot of a very, very large number of irrigation systems that are built in the mountains there. Yes, I'm familiar with those.
And Jim?
They seem to be kind of a little old and you know, very remarkably hard to do, that the ones that you're talking about in the Bolivian and Peru borders are even more so.
Yeah, I again, not to be rude, but I tend to not focus and get information around those much in comparison, because I'm focusing on the ones here in America, so I don't have much expertise. I'm familiar that they're there, but that's okay. About the extent of my experience with them.
So, John, you're not sure if they're the same kind of size or same kind of shape and construction and all that stuff?
They're a different type of construction. That much I can tell you, because they're on mountainsides and they're terraces. They're terrace canals versus a single level. Here we're dealing with canals that are straight line in at water level. They're not on terraces. Now, the canals that the earlier caller, Farland, was discussing in Oklahoma are, in fact, terraced. And those are like the Bolivian ones. The Bolivian ones, the ones that I'm familiar with, are very large, very terraced, very different than the ones that we're looking at, but very large systems, indicating an extremely large population base. That's about what I know about them.
Okay, Jim, thanks for the call. We're going to Steve in Albany, New York. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hey, good evening. Nice talking to you again. Hey, I came up with two ideas. I'm going to try to make them as quick as possible. I've seen a few shows on what might be civilizations before the Ice Age. They're around the last Ice Age. And there may be the continental shelves may have been higher, and there may have been major cities that could connect these things. Instead of using, like, canals that are water-filled, imagine using, like, wooden cars, like, built like, you know, like Conestoga wagons or such, with wooden wheels that would fit inside there, with maybe wheels on the outside for navigation, so that you won't have to steer it and just go automatically with wind sails. They would just blow and carry goods from one place to another.
Well, being an old sailor, I can tell you that sailing up the inland coast, the intercoastal waterway, is a very difficult task. Trust me.
No, not with water.
It's almost impossible.
No, so not with water. High with wheels.
Meaning that these were highways more than canals.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know, with wind, you wouldn't need motors. And if you put wheels on the side, like to bumper, they would steer right down these pathways, you know, and they'd go from one place to another without you wouldn't have to, you know, like cruise control without without having to do very much for work.
I wouldn't know how to respond to that. I wouldn't know. I mean, it would take some analysis that I couldn't do here off the top of my head, so I really couldn't respond to it.
Okay, Steve, you had another theory? Steve? Okay, I'm not sure. Steve had said that he had a couple of ideas he wanted to run by us. I'm not sure if he's still around. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Robert in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, George and John. Oh, the Great Dismal Swamp. That's Lake Drummond. And my question is, you know, George Washington did a lot of surveying and whatnot, but do you think a lot of the pathways they take because of least resistance, in other words, there's a lot of pathways already made, and they go back and do them over and over again because it can be, you know, in thousands of years. My question is, do you think that's a viable scenario?
I wouldn't know how to respond to it other than saying, the canals that we look at and identify are hydroponically designed, connected to waterways to flow water up into them. In other words, they're wider at the mouth where they're connected to flowing water than they are at the tip where they end. That is hydraulic. You follow? And to be designed so that they are, in fact, functioning hydraulically means that they were designed to do that, or at least that appears that way to me. They don't appear to be just use trails or anything like that. These are cut into the landscape as waterways. Most of them are between 3 to 5 foot wide at the, sometimes as much as 6 foot wide at the water inlet, at the what we call arterial canals, the main canals that they feed off of, and they're as high as 2,000 foot long, narrowing down to about a foot at the peak. They appear to be very precisely engineered. So I wouldn't suggest that they had more, although that isn't, you know, that isn't outside the realm of possibility. Anything is possible with these. Where did they come from? How they were built? Because we just don't know yet. So I had someone in New York tell me they were absolutely made to drain the swamp and the swampy areas. And on the surface, that's a great idea. But under engineering study, it loses some credibility in that the mechanics of moving that many tons of alluvial soil just so that you could drain more water seems to be not economically possible or feasible. And the colonials or whoever might have done that have the same economic pressures that we have today. Every dollar you spend has to have a value. So moving tons of soil just to be able to drain things economically didn't make sense when free land a mile away was high and dry. So we couldn't do, I don't recognize that as a great possibility, but we can't argue that it wasn't so. Anything is really still on the table until we get out doing field research. I apologize if I'm rambling.
But. No, that's good. I appreciate the call, Robert. I appreciate all those calls. John, I got a feeling you're going to get a lot of reaction from our Coast to Coast listeners. I hope you'll check back in with us and let us know how it goes and what kind of new leads you get. And thank you for being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me. And thanks to guests for their questions so far.
All right. Good night. And Bud Hopkins, thanks to him as well. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I want to thank the folks at Premier, Jason and Gina and Tim, and hope you all have a good one, and I'll see you in a few. Good night, everyone.